following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines. Ricky Scapero here, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome tonight's program. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, first time joining us, first time listening to the broadcast, let us know in the comments section below that you are new, where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. So tonight I want to deal with the recent Von D conversion to Christianity and her recent baptism and the backlash that has come from that. So this is going to be a great topic of discussion. And I already know, I can already hear what people are saying. Like, I really care about a celebrity tattoo artist and what she's doing and what she has to say. Well, you really probably should pay attention to this, especially if you are a Christian yourself. So without further ado, guys, let's get after it. All right, guys, again, we want to welcome everybody on this Tuesday, October 24th, to the program. Again, you're listening to End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Before we really get into tonight's message, guys, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. And if you've not downloaded a free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. It's available on Apple or Android. If you're listening by Apple or by Android, if you'll just go over to the Play Store, depending on your device, and you'll just simply go in there and type in End Time Headlines. You're going to get our free app. Just download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. So I want to give you this article. We're going to talk about celebrity tattoo artist Kate Von D, who shocked the world earlier this month when she revealed that she had been baptized. Now, she had also, for you guys who have kept up with this story, she recently announced her newfound faith in Christianity. We do know that she attends a Baptist church, because there's a lot of misinformation going around all over the internet saying that she attends these, you know, some weird church and this and it's not. No, she attends a Baptist church in Indiana. So again, Kat Von D, whose real name is Catherine Von Drakenberg, announced on an Instagram video earlier this month that she had been baptized. This video circulated on social media. She shared the footage of her singing in the choir of the Switzerland Baptist Church in Vevey, Indiana, or Vevey, however you pronounce that, in Indiana. I was from Indiana and never heard of this location. I'm not really sure where that's at. However, despite most responses to people cheering her on and celebrating with her and congratulating her on her newfound faith and being baptized, there was also many who criticized her. Now, this is why I want to talk about this today, because as Christians, as believers, we need to have this discussion, because these type of attitudes in the body of Christ, my friend, is what's pushing many people away from the church. Now, I know, listen, we're going to address all of it. We're going to address the concerns. We're going to address Kat Von D's own testimony. We're going to discuss all this on today's program. So just bear with me. So I'm going to share this. This is from The Blaze, theblaze.com. And this is from Kat Von D herself. Quote, "Me and my husband and my son, we'd go out to get lunch throughout the week, and people would just come out of nowhere wanting to give me a hug and congratulate me and welcome me to the family, which I love, and it's been pretty awesome. But this is where I'm at, and to me, my baptism was a public demonstration." I'm going to highlight some stuff here. "Her baptism was a public demonstration of where I stand with my faith and basically letting people know that I am not ashamed. Stop." So again, she recently gave her heart to the Lord. Again, I'm only giving you and relaying what has been testified of her herself. We know that she goes to a Baptist church. We know that she got water baptized, and by her own statement. She's saying that it was a public demonstration of where she's standing with her faith, and that she is not ashamed of letting people know that she is now a follower of Christ. Okay? Quote, the LA Ink Star stated, and so that's why I really wanted to share it with people. And if there was anyone out there that felt like they were at crossroads and don't feel like you fit in, because I don't feel like I fit in anywhere now, or that I ever have, to be honest, you're not alone. She went on to say that it wasn't her. Now, this is really important. I want to highlight this. Kat Von D said that it was not her atheist followers who attacked her over her baptism, but it was rather people who identify themselves as Christians. Wow. I want to say that one more time. Kat Von D, by her own testimony, said it was not her atheist followers who attacked her over her being baptized, but it was people who identified themselves as Christians. Quote, it was really the Christians who were the worst. Man, it was really just sad to see this critical display of judgment from Christians, and I don't understand what would inspire that. Aside from something that's more egoic, because that isn't Christ-like, to judge people or judge people's journey. And I notice she used a phrase here. It is not Christ-like to judge people or judge people's journey. Somebody say journey with me. You would think that most Christians would be happy for you when you come to this point in your life, especially when you get baptized. I don't disagree with that. I completely agree with that. Baptism is so beautiful and it's such a big landmark in time. For me, at least, it was one of the most important days of my life. So it's strange that these handful of negative, critical Christians would come at me in such a public way, she declared. Quote, I think it's really insane that we live in a time where people still judge a book by its cover. That's interesting here, something she said here. I'm going to read that again. I think it's really insane that we live in a time where people still judge a book by its cover. Now, it's interesting she said that because, again, when you look at her, okay, so when you look at her, this is from her Instagram page. She, of course, you know, she's covered in tattoos and piercings. Now, I want to remind you, this was before her conversion, before her baptism. So it would be easy for any of us to look at an individual like this and cast judgment, have a preconceived notion, have a preconceived judgment about this woman based on her, as she would say, the cover of the book, the physical appearance, without seeing the heart. She went on to say, quote, I wasn't aware that there is a uniform that you're supposed to wear once you give your heart to Jesus. Wow. Oh, we're gonna address all this, guys. We're gonna break it down. I was not aware that there was a uniform that you are supposed to wear once you give your heart to Jesus. Some critics have accused Kat Von D of using the baptism as a PR stunt. Is she? I don't know. I'm gonna tell you right now. I can't make the judgment to say that it's not. But I cannot also make the judgment to say that it is. Let's read on. I did not get baptized to be saved. I was already saved. Again, acknowledging her conversion. And this is awesome too, because did you know that she is theologically correct? Water baptism does not save you. Oh, I'm going to ruffle some feathers today on this broadcast, because listen, we're talking to Christians today, people that identify themselves as Christians. This is not a message for unbelievers. Don't share this with unbelievers. Keep this within the family today. I'm talking to family today. I'm talking to professed believers today. And if you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee in the room, you're probably going to get your feathers really ruffled today, because I'm going to tell you, what she said right there is theologically correct. Water baptism does not save you. We are saved by the blood of Jesus through faith in him. Come on, even all my Baptist folks better amen me right there. because we are saved through grace, through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by what? Grace through faith. Romans says, if you shall believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you shall be saved. Water baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. That's what she's saying here. She said it was a public display of her inward change and inward transformation. She went on to say, I did not get baptized to make it about me. It was never about me. She went on to say, quote, I don't feel equipped. I love this part too. I do not feel equipped to be the poster child for Christianity. Why would she make that statement? Because she's a babe in Christ. I want you to say this phrase with me. Babe in Christ. That's why she's making this statement. I think that I'm still learning, and as I do, I will become more equipped. Wow. But for the time being, I feel like I've never really been that, as in what? Fully learned, fully equipped, and fully matured in her faith. And I don't plan on doing that. I don't plan on doing what? Maturing in Christ? No, that's not what she's saying. She's saying, I don't plan on being a poster child for Christianity. In other words, listen, guys, we all have different callings. We're not all called to teach the word of God. We're not all called to be pastors or preachers or evangelists or apostles or prophets. She acknowledges that. She is not the poster child for Christianity. She doesn't have all of her I's dotted and all of her T's crossed. She doesn't have everything figured out yet. She considers a podcast of The Blaze, Allie Beth Stuckey, her friend. She considers her a friend. And she said that later on she'd like to do her first interview explaining her decision to get baptized with a podcast with her. Drachenberg's conversation to Christianity comes a year after she renounced the occult and witchcraft. So I want to stop here for a second, and I want to interject something here. So we know by her own admission, she renounced witchcraft and the occult, gave her heart to Christ, and has been baptized. Let me say that again. She has renounced the occult and witchcraft, got saved, and got baptized. So obviously, she has somewhat of an understanding of the dangers of the occult and witchcraft and the necessity of giving her heart to Christ and being water baptized. This is something that we've got to put out here. She went on to say that she thanked her church members for providing her with a feeling of family that she has never really felt. You know what? I applaud. Come on. Let's give an applause. Why should we give an applause? Because that is what true Christianity should be. That is what true ecclesia should be. They should be cheering on the lost and the sinners who come and give their heart to the Lord, renounce things that they were in bondage to, and get baptized. When the Bible says all of heaven rejoices, and even the angels, in the presence of angels, all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that gives their heart to Christ. All right. So that was all of that's our backdrop of our story. This is going to be the backdrop of our discussion today. So today's message that I want to talk to you about, this is going to be our talking point today. Oh, I know all hell's breaking loose in the Mideast. I know that we're in wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation. Guys, listen, the Israeli army has still not moved in. The ground troops have still not moved in. They gave them a 24-hour notice 2 weeks ago. Nothing's happening. It's still the same, still going on, just like Russia and Ukraine. It's been going on for over a year. So, guys, it's going to be there. We're going to cover it. We're going to talk about it. But life goes on, and we're still here on this earth, and we still have to live practical Christianity. Everybody's got their head in the book of Revelation. They've got their head in the apocalypse and the tribulation and who the Antichrist is and who the false prophet is. But they're failing. The report card has an F on practical Christianity, how to deal with new converts, how to deal with people, how to deal with matters in the church. We are ignorant on this. So we're going to take a pause from what's going on in Bible prophecy, and we're going to deal with practicality today. So when an individual gives their heart to Christ, come on, I want to talk to all of our former drug addicts, drug pushers, drug users. I want to talk to all of my former alcoholics, those maybe that are involved in witchcraft and the occult, who were promiscuous, who were involved heavily in sexual immorality. Let me deal with the former homosexuals. Let me talk to the former thieves, the liars, and the list goes on. I want to talk to you today. You know, the group that the Apostle Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for you guys that are following with me on Apple or by Spotify, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul. He is addressing the church of Corinth, and he is talking to them directly. These are born-again believers, okay? This is not to the world. This is not to sinners. This is not to the unregenerated. He is talking to believers. Look what he says here, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither shall fornicators, neither shall idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Stop. Let me make this real plain for you. If you are practicing these sins, we're not talking about if you slip and fall, you make a mistake, you stumble in an area of weakness. That's not what Paul's talking about. If you practice these sins, you live a habitual lifestyle of this. He said, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But let's read on. Look at verse 11. I love this. And such were some of you. Past tense. But you were washed. But you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All right, this is heavy, guys. This, look at this. So Paul addresses sinners being washed, that's by the blood of Jesus, and baptism. We're not diminishing baptism, but again, you were washed through the blood of Jesus. Come on. What can make me white as snow? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right. So you're saved by the blood, water baptism, but then you go through a process called sanctification. This process is talking about being set apart for God. And sanctification is not an instantaneous event. It is not overnight. It is a, I'm going to use the word that Kat Von D used in her writing here, in her description. It is a journey. Sanctification is a journey of each and every individual believer. And each and every believer's journey will not look the same. Let me say that again. Your journey of sanctification cannot be compared to my journey of sanctification. And my journey of sanctification cannot look the same and will not look the same as yours. All of this varies on various factors. Number one, it depends on your level of maturity. And even that has factors. Not everybody gets off the bottle and gets off the milk the same as everybody else does. Everybody's walk with God, everybody's journey with God is different. Just like in the natural, my friend, in the natural, You have a young child, you have an infant, you have a baby. Their learning skills will be different than others. Their capability to speak, to articulate words, to form sentences, to be able to distinguish things, to be able to articulate things, to be able to differentiate between right and wrong and have discernment will vary depending on each and every individual. So again, sanctification is a process, and there is no set number on how long it takes to be sanctified. And it's my opinion that no one will truly, fully arrive until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are continually maturing in the Lord and growing to the full stature of who the Lord has called us to do in maturity. That no one man can reach perfection on the earth. There was only one individual who ever reached that status, and he laid down his life as a ransom for many because he was tempted, according to Hebrews, in all points as you and I, but without sin. But no, John said it like this: if any man says that he sins not, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Translation: if you go around telling people that you never sin by word, action, deed, conduct, any of that, you go around telling people that you've reached this perfection, this level of perfection that you never sin, John's word, not mine, John calls you a liar. He said that we're all going to fall short. Paul said we all fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Hello, this is the whole point of Christ and his redemptive work at the cross. So sanctification is a process, and it is through the help of the Paracletos, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that God gives us and seals us with on the day that we said yes to Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and the Holy Spirit works with grace to help us be set apart or sanctified in Christ. Now, how do we do that? By Romans 12, through the transformation of the renewing of the mind of God, or the mind through the word of God, day by day by day. So let me cover this again. Paul said, those who practice these things, fornication, sodomy, homosexuality, revelry, extortioners, drunkards, covetous, all this stuff, they will not inherit the kingdom. And he tells the church of Corinth, but such were some of you. I can say that today on today's podcast. Some of y'all listening by Apple and by Spotify, you guys that are watching by Rumble, by YouTube, by Facebook Live. I could say that to you. Such were some of you. You were a drunkard. You were an alcoholic. You were a drug addict. You were a fornicator. You was an adulterer, but you were washed and sanctified. And being sanctified. But listen to this. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. In other words, Christ has redeemed you. Not with goats or lambs or rams, but with the precious blood of Jesus. So no man, listen, it doesn't matter, Kat Von D. It doesn't matter what the Pharisees have to say. It doesn't matter what the teachers of the law have to say. It doesn't matter what, come on, the Sadducees have to say. The critics, the bloggers, the TikTokers, the Instagram people, the Facebook people, the YouTubers, the basement theologians, the basement Pharisees, the social media Pharisees. It doesn't matter what they think or what they say, because you are justified through the Spirit of God, through the blood of Jesus. And let's just say, guys, for sake of conversation today, that Kat Von D really did give her heart to the Lord. Instead of leaning on the negative, which most people do, they're negative about everything, guys. And Christians are, listen, when she made that statement, not everybody congratulates her. In fact, let me read this again. Remember in her statement, she said it was not her atheist followers who attacked her over the baptism, but rather people who identified themselves as Christians. As Christians, people who identified themselves as Christians. Isn't it a sad testament? Isn't it a sad indictment that all of heaven rejoices in the presence of angels over one sinner that gives her heart to Christ, but yet among Christianity, among the church, among the ecclesia, you have all these people that create entire YouTube videos trashing and destroying this woman, saying that she's a wolf in sheep's clothing, that she's a goat, that she's a witch, that she's trying to pull people in and deceive them and lead them to hell. Now, could they be right? Sure. But I'm going to tell you something. I had critics around me when I first got saved. I'm talking about people that really knew me. Now, I don't have tattoos riddled all over me. I don't have piercings all over me. So it's kind of hard for you to judge this book by its cover if you did not know. If I never opened my mouth, you didn't know my rap sheet, you didn't know my history, and you just looked at me, you would never think that I did and partook of things that I did in my past that only a few handful of people know, people I used to do these things with, my own wife, and God himself. Oh, I could tell you things that Brother Ricky did in BC before Christ that would shock you and you would never believe it. Why? Because you're judging a book by its cover. You're looking at me. Oh, well, he's got a decent haircut. He wears pretty decent clothes. Oh, he don't have any piercings. He don't have any tattoo. Well, surely he was never engaged in anything promiscuous. He wasn't ever engaged in anything dangerous or drugs or anything this. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I could pull some of my friends from my past life and put them on this podcast and they could tell you all kinds of things about the old me. But the problem is the church is so bad about this. We talk about how, oh, well, we got to preach the gospel. We got to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. Yeah, but then when we actually get them into the house of the Lord, and God forbid they're a prostitute or they're a drug addict or they're a homosexual or they're a transgender, Or they're riddled with tattoos or piercings or body modifications. Or let me just say it like this. God forbid they don't look like us and we get them into the house of God. And once we get them there, because they don't look like us, talk like us, act like us, walk like us, and fit the mold like us. Oh, why? And then they come up front. They give their heart to the Lord. We get them water baptized. Then here comes the Pharisees out of the woodwork and say, well, I really doubt if they really got saved. I really doubt it, because if they really got saved, they wouldn't have the tattoos. They wouldn't have the piercings. They wouldn't have all this stuff. And they literally just got saved, got baptized, and it's been a week. And I'm talking about the Pharisees, guys. The Pharisees are expecting these people to be squeaky clean, have everything cleaned up. Oh, if they've got tattoos, they need to have them all removed. Do you know how tedious, painful, and expensive it is to remove tattoos from your body? Do you know that there is some body modifications that you cannot undo? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that when you go to a supermarket, you go into the marketplace, you go to somewhere and you start preaching the gospel to people and they accept the gospel and they look like this? What are you going to hound them 24/7? Are you going to put up the money for them to go and get all these tattoos removed and get extensive plastic surgery to correct the body modifications and piercings? I'm just asking, are you going to do that? You know, we're just so quick to judge, aren't we? Even Kat Von D, in her statement, she said, I did not realize that when I got saved, I was supposed to put on a certain uniform. Now, look, I know, as sure as I'm sitting here, this is where they're going to go to. This is where everybody, this is what they're looking at, and this is why they're making these judgments. This is a, what you're seeing here is, this is her new single called Vampire Love. This is apparently on her new album that's already dropped. That this was, again, this was posted, what, how many, a week ago? So this is what you're seeing right here. We, obviously we muted this for copyrights, but this is what they're talking about. And then some of the things that she said here, quote, the song as well as the epic music video directed by, irrelevant here, but releases on Tuesday, October 24th, just in time for spooky season. Now, let's look at this. Look at the comments here. Happy you're saved, but no born-again believers should be singing about vampires in a skeleton cat suit. Again, guys, what did I just... If she's a new convert, okay, I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt. Everybody wants to trash her. Everybody wants to throw her under the bus. But I'm gonna say here, if she's a new convert, which if she really literally got saved recently and recently got baptized, she would be called a babe in Christ. Remember I told you to say that earlier? So meaning she's still on the milk. Meaning that she's not fully sanctified, meaning that she doesn't fully have her senses matured in discernment. She's growing. She's on a journey. She even said, I'm not a poster child for Christianity. All right. Do I, from this user here that quoted this, no born-again believer should be singing about vampires in a skeleton cat suit. I completely agree. You guys know my stance on Halloween. It's demonic. Its origin's demonic. We should have no fellowship with darkness. We all know this, guys. We're mature Christians. But again, we're expecting Kat Von D to be on our level. We're expecting her to be consuming the steak when she's still on the milk. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? And I love this comment right here by Kristen Burns .it.down. So they probably will never hear this broadcast, but I'm reading this comment. Quote, dear fellow Christians, if she's saved, and I love it, she says if she is, so she's giving her the benefit of the doubt here, the Holy Spirit will continue to work in her life and convict her of things that she may or may not need to do differently. Agree. I 100% agree with that. Because you know what? As sure as I'm staying here, there's people that are listening to this broadcast and you don't see anything wrong with Halloween. And I just don't understand that. But you know what? We're still brothers and sisters in Christ. But your sanctification process, your journey in Christ looks different than Brother Ricky's. Y'all see? Y'all catch my drift here? We are all on our own walk with the Lord. True. He meets us where we are and works with us in the way that we need. True. Commenting on these posts with judgment to condemn isn't changing anyone. Thank you. This is 100% truth, guys. That's what I'm addressing today. Is I see this stuff all the time. All the time. I know people personally that went to church, gave their heart to Christ, but shortly thereafter, they stopped coming to church because of these judgmental attitudes. And you say, well, they wouldn't stop going to church if they really got saved. Really? Let's talk about your bitterness. Let's talk about your resentment. Let's talk about your unforgiveness for a minute. Let's talk about who's lied about you and who's said things about you and who's gossiped about you and who slandered you and who hurt you. Let's talk about that for a second. And let's talk about the reason why you don't do certain things in the body of Christ or you don't go to church and the reasons why you don't. Let's talk about that for a second. So to bring full clarification on this, I want you to be here loud and clear because I know how people are. I have dealt with people like this for 23 years that I've been serving the Lord. So let me just make this real clear in case someone tries to take my video, this podcast, and take video snippets of it and edit it out, making it say things I didn't say. Let me give you the full context so that you can have this as a point of reference. So that if you see this nonsense as someone doing a video about Brother Ricky and making me saying things I didn't say, then you can pull this up and pull the reference. Say, no, you skipped a lot of it because here's the full video of it. Okay. Number one. I cannot 110% tell you that this woman truly gave her heart to Christ. Only people that know this is her and God. Number two, I do not know her true intention of why she would fabricate if she did not truly give her heart to Christ. And she really didn't mean anything through her baptismal. I truly do not know what the intent would be. Now, there is assumptions that people make, and they're all over the internet and YouTube, and you better be careful because you know the old saying, when people make assumptions, they make a something out of themselves, and we won't repeat that here. So you just better be careful with that, okay? But let's just say, hypothetically, if she truly did get saved and baptized in water, why are we not celebrating? Is it because she's still doing things that she shouldn't be doing? Well, let's talk about you for a second, shall we? We talked about Kat Von D. Let's talk about you. Are you still smoking? Well, I don't believe smoking will send you to hell. You really think smoking's a good witness? You think your kids are going to enjoy you smoking and you die of cancer and you die before your time? Do you think that glorifies God? Let's talk about you. Are you still drinking alcohol? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking alcohol because even Paul told Timothy, give a little wine for the stomach's sake. Okay, so you don't have a problem with smoking. You don't have a problem with drinking. Let me ask you this. Are you still listening to vulgar music? Well, I don't listen to that rap music because it's full of vulgarity and promiscuity and all that nonsense and degrades women. Well, let's just talk about your country music for a second, shall we? Have you heard any country music? Yeah, they may not be rapping, but it's full of vulgarity. It's full of sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, drinking, partying, rivalries. But we don't even want to talk about that, right? Because that's your music. Can we talk about your cussing problem that you still ain't got fixed? You know, before you trash Kat Von D because you don't like her tattoos and her outfit and her new music and all this, and again, just for the record, and you better get the full clarification of what Brother Ricky's saying. Let's just make this known. I do not condone that type of music. My family and I do not celebrate Halloween, and I did a whole complete podcast on why believers should abstain from every appearance of evil. We are to expose evil deeds in darkness and not partake of them. So don't you accuse Brother Ricky of partnering with this or agreeing with that lifestyle. I'm just trying to tell you that before you take your bony finger out and you want to point your bony finger and expose the speck in Kat Von D's eye, or anyone else out there that you're doing this to, perhaps you should look in the mirror and look at the plank in your own eye. Now I want to shift gears. I just got to check in my spirit. Before we do that, guys, we should be praying for her. Because if she's a new convert and God is working on her through the Holy Spirit, bringing a process of sanctification, instead of trashing her, let's pray for her. So we're going to pray for her at the end of this right here. Oh, I know. I'm going to get the comments. Well, you have no discernment and I'm unfollowing you. Well, go ahead and unfollow us. It won't be the first time. You think I'm intimidated by you telling me you're not going to unfollow me? Listen, do what you got to do. I don't care. I'm going to preach it anyway. So I'm going to move on and I'm going to bring a balance to this. And if you wouldn't have got offended and upset and unfollowed us, if you would have stuck around, you probably like this next part. Because many of you goes, many of you skip right to this, but you ignore everything I just talked about for the last 40 minutes. Now, here's where I want to bring a balance to this as we close this podcast today. Paul the Apostle did address proper judgment. Because, you know, people, they like the Christians' favorite verses in the Bible are either Jesus or Paul gave Timothy a little wine for the stomach's sake. Jesus turned water into wine. And here's the third one. Judge not lest you be judged. That's their three favorite verses. Okay. And most all three of these are probably taken out of context. This last one is definitely taken out of context. So what they're saying and implying here is as Christians, we cannot judge anyone. And it's not true. 1 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul is addressing a young man that is committing adultery or what he calls sexual immorality in the church. And it was not addressed by the church, the eldership, or the pastor. So Paul had to write a letter to the pastor and tell the pastor how to properly address and confront this issue before it got out of hand. And it was like leaven that would spread through the whole body. And before you know it, everybody in the church is practicing this sin and they're not being, and it's not being dealt with. So Paul deals with this. He gives instructions on how to do with this. He says, give this boy over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that in the end his soul may be saved. In other words, he's telling the church to disfellowship him. And when he goes through a time that he will be beat up by the devil, because it will, because you're lifting your cover off of him. We all should have a covering on us. And when that covering is removed, you're going to get, and you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you're going to get beat up and you're going to get whooped on by the devil. And then when the boy comes back and he repents, we're to receive him back into faith. He addresses that 2 Corinthians. I want to get down here, verse 9. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul said, I wrote to you in my epistle, do not keep company with sexually immoral people. Yes, I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous, extortioners, idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. Okay, but now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Don't even eat with such a person. This is the instruction that Paul gave. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Okay? Do you not judge those who are inside? So we have a distinction between those on the inside and those on the outside. Those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourself the evil person. Stop. Who is Paul talking about here? So Paul is making a distinction. I'm going to leave this scripture up here on the screen so you can look at me, but you can look at this too, because I want to point these scriptures out here. Paul is making here a differential between those who are inside of the faith and those who are outside who are sinners, saints and sinners. What he's saying here, if you individuals who are living a lifestyle of sexual immorality, coveting, an idolater, a reveler, a drunkard, an extortioner. Paul is saying that we're not to eat with them, we're not to fellowship with them, and we're to put away them individuals from fellowship with us. This is what he means right here when he says, put away from yourselves the evil person. He's not talking about people, he's not talking about sinners. Look what he says here. For what do I have to do with judging those who are outside? Those are sinners. Do you not know that look what he says here. Those who are outside, God judges. They've already been judged, guys. If they die in their sins, they're already on their way to hell. So Paul is saying here that, listen to me, if an individual by their own admission says that they have only been saved for a few months, a year, 2 years, We cannot expect them to be bearing the fruit that you and I are bearing or have bore, because we've been serving Christ for decades. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I don't expect a newborn believer to have fruit that is bore that a individual who's been serving Christ for decades has versus an individual who's only been serving the Lord for a few months or a year. So that Paul is not talking about individuals in the body of Christ who are newborns. Look, even here in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about, I could not speak to you. And he's talking to the church of Corinth. I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. So he addresses these groups of individuals in the church of Corinth, and he identifies them as babes in Christ. Why? Here's what he said. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able to receive solid food because you're still carnal. You still have fleshly issues. You still have hangups. You still have strongholds. You still have these things that you're dealing with carnally. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, look at the threads on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. Look at the comments, and it's riddled with this stuff. It's riddled with immature Christians that spend all their time bickering, arguing, debating, and judging babes in Christ because they don't look like them. They don't bear the fruit that they do. They don't have the discernment that they do. Well, here's a novel idea, friend. Why don't we pray for these individuals, help equip them, and disciple them? So the good news is, if Kat Von D really did get saved, really get baptized, she's in a Baptist church where she will be taught the gospel. She will be properly equipped. And I expect over time, she will mature in Christ. She will bear fruit. She'll begin to develop discernment, and she will begin to, just like she renounced witchcraft and the occult, she will begin to distance herself, or she will begin to renounce these things that she is now partaking of and celebrating. Okay. So the bottom line is this, guys, it has to take time. Fruit takes time to bear. Oh, let me say that again. Fruit takes time to bear. We can't expect this kind of fruit overnight. So instead of being so judgmental and quick to create an hour video trashing somebody that's a babe in Christ, let's just sit back, continue to pray for her. I know that's a novel idea, right? Actually pray for somebody that they really, truly may get, you know, set apart, sanctified, and get on fire for God. Could you imagine if she really did get on fire for God? Imagine the people that she could reach for the lost. I want to finish this right here, and I want to say this. Guys, if we can't pass this test, if we fail this test, what are you and I going to do? We're praying for revival. We're praying for awakening. What are we going to do when they start showing up at your door? They start showing up at your church, pastor. They start showing up at your Bible group meeting, sir, ma'am. And they look like Kat Von D. They're riddled in tattoos. They're riddled in piercings. What if transgenders show up to your Bible study? What if homosexuals show up? What if lesbians show up? What if these individuals, what if a Satanist shows up? Well, I wouldn't let them in. Look, that's between you and the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what kind of revival and awakening that we're looking for or we're expecting it, but if we're expecting a clean, polished, set in order, conformed, programmed, and controlled revival or awakening, then it's not a real awakening and it's not a real revival. Because I'm telling you, when God really shows up, when it's a real revival and it's a real awakening, I'm telling you, the lame, the blind, the hurting, the destitute, the prostitutes, the outcast, everybody and anybody will show up and they're looking for Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit at the tabernacle entrance? Are we going to judge them? Are we going to turn them away? Are we going to introduce them to living waters, get them saved, get them born again, get them baptized, and God forbid we disciple them? So listen, I hope this makes sense to anybody. Listen, I want to pray. Let's pray for Kat Von D. Can we do that right here? Let's pray for her because she represents the very people that we're looking for. She represents the generation that we need to get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost that will be a wrecking ball in this generation. That's she is the epitome of that. She's the poster child for that. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Catherine to you, God, and we thank you, Lord. If this was a true conversion, only you and you alone will know this. But Lord, for hypothetical state or hypothetical purposes, let's just say that it is true. And if it is, then we rejoice with all of heaven and even in the presence of angels for this one sinner that's been converted. We thank you, Lord, for her conversion. We thank you that she is stepping out from darkness into this marvelous light. Lord, even though she may not be where, Lord God, she can fully be and be stepped into, Lord, we just thank God that she's not where she used to be. We thank you for the baby steps. We thank you that she's making those strides. She's making those steps towards full sanctification and maturity in Christ. We thank you that I believe her pastor and those in leadership of her church will disciple her. They will equip her. They will lead her in truth. They will lead her and guide her. I thank you for mentors in her lives and spiritual mothers and fathers that you'll place in her life. I thank you, Father, that she will be, I believe, I call those things that be not as though they were. And I see the treasure and an earthen vessel in her. And Lord, I just pray that you would call out of her that treasure and that earthen vessel, that you would raise her up to be a voice in this generation that would help other women, young girls, individuals who, as she said in herself, they feel lonely, they feel isolated, they don't fit in. Lord, may she be a great voice to them. May she lead them to the salvation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just declare right now that, Father, if all these judgments that are cast upon her are unrighteous and they're unmerited, I thank you for your word. And Isaiah says that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against her in judgment, you shall condemn. Lord, we just thank you. But on the other hand, Father, I pray that, Lord, we would use wisdom. We would use discernment, and that, Lord, we would give the proper time it needs to be for fruit to fully develop and for her to walk out whatever this looks like. And if it is evil, if the intent is unrighteous and it's malicious, then I pray, Lord God, that you'd expose it for what it is. But whatever the case may be, Lord, we thank you and we give you praise and glory. And Lord, I don't want to leave yet, but Lord, I want to thank right now those individuals. Maybe you're watching today. Maybe you're listening today and you're like Kat Von D, and you recently just gave your heart to the Lord. You're a babe in Christ. You're still on the milk. You're still not on the meat. And you've almost been ready to throw in the towel. You've almost been ready to call it quits. You won't go to a church. Why? Because maybe you've been condemned. Maybe you've experienced this judgment from other so-called believers and Pharisees. Our heart goes out to you today. We want to pray for you today. We're believing that God is faithful, who began a good work in you, is faithful to finish it. Listen, if you don't have a home church and you can't find a home church to be part of, to be plugged into, to grow in and develop in and be discipled in, we welcome you to End Time Headlines here. We're going to do our best to equip you, to encourage you, to inform you, and we just want to welcome you to the body of Christ. And we just thank God for you. And maybe no one's told you that, but we want to tell you that. Maybe you didn't hear it from your parents, your grandparents, or your family. Maybe they've ridiculed you, condemned you, or judged you because your step in your walk and your commitment with faith. But today, we here at End Time Headlines, we celebrate with you, and we are thankful that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old has passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. And come on, amen. So listen, we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off on today's program. We're going to be right back here on Thursday, the 26th at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern with another great podcast. Until then, again, guys, don't forget to download our free app available on both Android and Apple devices. If this ministry has been a source of blessing to you, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways right there on your screen. If you're watching, you can give electronically or through check or money order right there at End Time Headlines. That's going to be P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, if you'll just go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or again, by the app, go all the bottom to the right where it says click on donate. You can give electronically or through check or money order. All right, guys, again, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming on and listening to the program. Thank you for sharing this. I want to say a big thank you to all of our partners, our monthly partners, our supporters, our intercessors. And you guys know who you are electronically. You guys that contact us through the mail and emails and et cetera. You guys that give by check or money order electronically, you know who you are. And we just want to give a great big thank you and appreciation to you. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you guys on Thursday. But until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.